The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, Unscripted with Crackman, Bill Krakenberger, special guest Randy McKay here from Bar Canada at the D. Hanging out. Crack and I went to Russell Axelrod and me. We went to Peter Luger's last night, courtesy of the Crack Man.
Yes.
Pro tip, burgers not after 4 p.m.
Yes. No. However, we had some great steaks and sides.
Yes, we did.
German potatoes.
Oh, German potatoes. were they good?
Steaks were great. Service was great. You know, it's one of those places that are going to be on top of you now. So, like, and I had an old-fashioned mother that didn't like it. She goes, Billy, all these people on top of me, I don't like it. You know, she's ready to stab someone from the Bronx. But, that, you know, like, I was like, Mom, that's the way it is. And, then, you know, that was Joe Stonecrab at the time. But, like, this is a restaurant too. They're on top of you, and they were very good to us. And bring your wallet, by the way.
Bring your
just
wallet.
Just open, right, Bill?
Just open. I'm proud to say that was my fourth time in there. I've spent now. I'm in about 1,500 there already. But by the way, we don't even drink.
He's been there four times. The opening was yesterday. Should point out.
Yeah, figure that out.
Yeah, do the math on that.
That's great.
Well, I didn't know. I was walking through 2 weeks ago, and they were open. I'm like, what is this? He goes, oh, it's a soft opening. I said, it's the soft opening? Do you have a soft seat? Because I'm coming in.
That's awesome.
The burgers are fantastic too, though. That's a nice lunch. You know, you go in just for a nice burger and a couple sides. That was even $100, but it's just it is what it is. We got Peter Luger's here, famous Peter Luger's from Brooklyn. And then there's one in Long Island, not as good. Sorry, the one in Brooklyn's much better. And there's one overseas I heard last night. I don't know
Japan somewhere.
So
I asked Randy off air, and you ask Randy McKay any question, you get an interesting answer. And the question was that I probably should have started with this was, why were you in town in the first place? And the answer was,
well, I came in late Sunday night and still in, I had a couple days of October, and now we overlap to November, so it's kind of a vantage play, so I can get double offers, you know, my October and November offers.
I see. So you killed two birds with one stone with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you used to live in South Dakota. When I first knew you, you lived in South Dakota. For 3 years now, you've lived where?
I lived in North Dakota.
Yeah, North Dakota. Yeah. Pardon me.
Oh, I don't wanna, wait a minute.
I don't want to shortchange.
Watch out.
The Dakota's on you there.
Home of famous, ex-famous quarterback Carson Wentz for your. he's our famous quarterback.
Please don't remind me. Don't remind me.
Yeah, I moved to Colorado 3 years ago. The first year when they legalized gambling, I stayed in North Dakota and was driving to Iowa every week or every weekend to bet. And doing the apps there. And then I decided to move to Colorado because, of course, there was more opportunity. I didn't move there right away because of the pandemic. But, I moved there, and I had, you know, of course, you had 25, 30 outs that you don't have in other places. And you have a lot more options and kiosks and that kind of thing. And it's worked out pretty well.
It's getting tougher, though, now, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's getting much tougher there. Much tougher than it was.
Wait, one second. Before I ask about Colorado, how did you end up in North Dakota?
Well, I grew up there.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Small town of 500. And
that's how one ends up there. Okay.
Yeah.
So now, has it changed your behavior? Are you betting in-game a lot more than you used to?
Yeah, I bet probably 80% in-game on Saturdays and Sundays. Wow. My handle even is in-game. Just getting used to that. You got to have a quick trigger, of course, and you got to have the phones ready. And, you know, the logging in and logging out can be a little frustrating with some of these apps. But, it's worthwhile, and it's been fun to do.
It is worthwhile. So based on how you do, you, Randy McKay, do in casino games, betting sports is still worthwhile for you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. During the football season, and some of the basketball, too, I concentrate more on the sports, probably, you know, 70-30 more on the sports than I do on casino games. Casino games, I just pick up my offers, give them a little play, and move on during the weekdays, you know, because nice thing about football, you know, every week's a test, you know, you got the games at the end, and you can see how you do.
You're graded,
And that's how it works, you know. It's not like every night sports like the NBA or, you know, I've cut back on it. I used to be an NHL better more so during the regular season than I am now.
Kelly's dad is you know, you think you're impressive. Have you heard Kelly's dad's story? Tell your story about your dad.
So 5.5 years, light video poker playing for me. I've never hit a royal flush out here. Never hit a royal. Dad's in town. He doesn't really gamble at all. We went to U2 last night, the Sphere. It's amazing. Oh, wow. Went over there. Two nights ago, he sits down at a video poker machine. I'm kind of showing him what he should play, how he should play it, you know. Sits over at a machine finally by himself, and in the first 10 minutes, it's a royal.
Wow.
Yeah. And then last night, as we're going to U2, he's back on the machine trying to figure out, turns to me as we're leaving, he goes, how do I get my money out? Because he was used to hitting the royal and the money being delivered to him. He didn't know the cash-out button, how that worked.
Oh. So is that his first royal?
It was his first time playing video poker.
So there, $40,000 the one shot he hit instantly in 10 minutes. I can guarantee you this. He's probably hooked. That's such a high.
That's what Kelly
was. It's such a high that now, where does he live?
He lives back in Florida.
He's done. Yeah. Florida's one of the worst. They have casinos everywhere. No, he's done. He'll be calling you for money in a month.
Kelly said he wishes him a horrible gambling addiction on his own father.
Oh. He doesn't gamble much, Bill. No. That's what I said, too. I was like, he's being hooked
now. That's so bad. Yeah, it's so bad that he hit, like, oh, this is easy. I could do this all the time.
One of the best Randy stories is, well, there's tons of them, but one of them is, and you observed this. You were with Randy when this happened. Randy,
I was.
What year, Super Contest Gold, you were in it on the last day?
So I had the lead with 2 weeks to go, and I don't know if you remember the game. In fact, we just had it played with Washington and Philly, and that was a game where Haskins, fumbled the ball forward at the end, and Philly ran it for the touchdown.
Oh, I do.
And that knocked me out of the lead of the Super Contest Gold, and I ended up finishing third. I had to try to now catch the guy who went. I had a two-game lead, and then the guy went on a 12-3 heater to beat me, and he won the gold.
So it was one of those weeks, and Randy, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember it was one of my early, first couple years at VSiN, and we were sitting downstairs, right downstairs here at the Long Bar, and it was the final week or two, and Randy's telling me where he's at in this contest. I'm sitting there for 5 hours watching football with him, just kind of looking at his face the whole time. Like, is there any emotion, anything going on? No, Randy just level as he always is, man. It was, and I know it didn't go your way. So that was tough.
Yeah, I try to be like old Coach Bud Grant, pretty motionless. But sometimes I get riled up a little bit.
And like Bud Grant, you lost the Super Bowl in essence.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, so, but how much, Super Contest Gold, what's the prize on that?
Oh, man, I don't even know
anymore. That year was about 300, I think.
300,000.
First, yeah.
Yeah, so for you, nonchalant, what's 300?
300 would have been nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I like big checks.
Yeah.
Are you in this year, the same thing, same kind of ones over there?
Yeah, I'm in the Westgate and then the Circa Millions here. And
how are you doing in Millions?
Millions, I got one entry, 25.5, and one entry, 25 out of the five. And then I'm doing one opposite, so I have one going for the boobies, too.
Okay. Well, look at you.
I was just about to ask this guy to move with his cigarette.
Yeah, this is killing me over here. Yeah, absolutely killing me. So you have simultaneously close to the top and close to the bottom.
Yeah.
Are you just playing the opposite play? Is that all you're doing?
Pretty much, yeah. I decided, if I get five entries, go with one a little lower, Go try one for the bottom prizes. I did it the first week, and actually the first week I had a bad week, and then I went opposite on that. So I had a four, one, four, and one, 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 and four. So I went the other way with it.
Have you placed in a football contest before?
Yeah, I've done.
Because gold is winner take all, so not that one.
Not that one. No, yeah. I have five or six lifetime caches in the Westgate, two top tens. In fact, the first year I made the top 10 back in 2001. And then the year James Salinas won it, I had seventh place for 90,000. And that was a fun one as well. And then, of course, we won one together. And then I was partners. You remember when I met you at DraftKings the first year?
Yes, the DraftKings National Sports Betting Championship.
So they did it again 2 years ago, and our group won that one. I'll show you the parlay ticket that we hit to get the first. That was a good one.
I remember our interaction in New Jersey for the first one. It was Sunday morning, and we both had crapped out already. We were both like, yeah, we're done.
Yeah, yeah, it was the first game, that New England Charger game.
But that's how you have to play those, right? Oh, yeah. You have to go all out for it.
Yeah, push in the middle.
That was Matt Brown and me
doing that together.
Yeah, with Jay Rude hanging out with us.
I believe I had to get you on for a guest spot for a show, and you were like, yeah, I'm available.
We're out. Yeah, that's the... So if someone is listening to this and saying to themselves, wow, I like this. I want to be like this guy. This guy's really inspiring me. What's your first bit of advice for them?
Far as the sports or the...
Either one.
There's plenty of content out there you can read, and there's definitely a lot of good websites. Like you could go to Wizard of Odds right now and divulge yourself.
Great site.
On mathematical stuff. There's video programs you can play, and they'll tell you the right holds, and if you're making an error, they'll tell you the percentage payback of the machines. I mean, there's a lot of devices, and that's how I learned too. Of course, I started with playing quarter machines. You know, I built up from getting 1,000 Royals to now hitting 20,000 ones, and that's what you got to do. You got to manage your bankroll at first. I used to go a little crazy and, just like every other gambler, go broke a few times. And
Would you recommend it? I'd say probably no. That's how tough it is.
Yeah, it's a little tougher than it used to be.
It's much tougher than it used to be.
Takes a special person, first of all, to have the mental makeup for it.
So many skill sets.
But harder now than when you started also.
The opportunities aren't there no more like they used to be.
Yeah.
Now it's like, it used to be like fish in a barrel. No more of that.
Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger, Randy McKay. We're at Bar Canada at the D here on a numbers game at VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSIN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSIN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSIN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSIN expert has the hot hand for VSIN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSIN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120 at VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. D-Gen Southern Gent, you said Alameda Gill is a great pocket for Halloween and trick-or-treating. Oh, they take their trick-or-treating very seriously in Alameda, California. He goes, maybe someone should have checked what was in in one of their pockets before giving out the good stuff. Apparently, Kit got some THC-laced candy as well in Alameda. I cannot endorse what's in the candy. I'm just saying they take it seriously. Yeah. Apparently too seriously. Ryan Hyatt, hat tip to Gill for highlighting Bill James' Pythagorean theorem stat early last spring that basically looks at teams who lost most games they had a chance to win. Well, that's one way of putting it. The Rangers were on that list near the top. They were at the top, by the way. The more you know. Thanks, yeah. That informed my season win total over on the Rangers was not only Bill James' Pythag, but also base runs. Jesse Welch. All right, cool. World Series over. Congrats, Texas. Do I get to cash my Ohtani and Snell tickets in 2023 or what? Yes. And now begins baseball awards season, which they drag out almost to Thanksgiving. Oh, goodness. This is from, let's see. This is from Mike K. No, not that one. Kenny G. Morning, Gil. Can you ask Bill if he has seen Netflix's 3-episode documentary, Get Gotti? I'd like to hear his opinion. Thanks.
Not only did I see it, maniac that I am, it came out at midnight. I actually woke up 3 a.m. and watched the whole 3 episodes that and was over by 6. And I thought it was very good. There is actually so many recordings of Gotti in there that I'd never heard before. They must have just, decided to divulge them. And it's a lot of the great stuff. I mean, I'm sorry to start a lot of the same stuff rehashed, but there's a lot of new things in there too. There's also another Netflix 3-part series that also I found out a lot of things 2 years previous that I just forget the name. But it was about the undercover tapes and stuff, how they actually went in the house, how Angelo Ruggiero, stone cold killer, standing over the FBI guy in his house, put a bug right in his phone. He had to do it right in front of him without him knowing. Really cool stuff. The guy talked about it, and it was Fear City it was called. But anyway, yeah, thanks for that question.
Rick Ollier, just curious, but is Tall Frank in the restaurant scene in Goodfellas by any chance? Did he ever get the papers?
Yeah, Tall Frank is...
is that Tommy two times, right?
Yeah.
Tommy says everything twice.
Get the papers. Jimmy two times. Yeah.
Alan Mitchell, now I will always think of a numbers game as Gil with Short Kelly. And JW's got jokes. He says, good job booking Champ from Anchorman on today's show. I don't remember. Who's Champ or Anchorman? I don't even remember. And Wolf asked, and maybe I should name it again. He said, who is that with Bill on set right now? That's Randy McKay.
Oh, you guys don't know.
Randy McKay.
Randy and I have 20 years. I've decided to bring him on here. I asked if I can bring him on, and, Gil was so gracious and said, bring him on. Did you read that one? Did you read that one? The 300,000? Did you read that one?
No, I didn't. all time. This is all time nonchalant from Randy McKay. 300,000 would have been nice. I like big checks.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I didn't even hear you say it.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there for like 5 hours like,
Jesse Wells.
Why is he sweating it? Why is there no emotion? I'd be freaking out.
I got to tell you, though, Randy, I think anything that we've been part of, like I said, we made $250,000 score, me and you. I don't think we've ever been real emotional. I'm not one of those guys that, Randy, if you won $1 million on something, would you be screaming and yelling? I'm going to say no way.
Not too much. If we got down on the nitty gritty, then probably intensify a little bit. But
what makes you emote in a like excited way? Anything in life? If that doesn't.
Well, there's a few things, of course. But,
does it involve a stripper pole?
As a kid, I used to love sacking quarterbacks. I played football till college a little bit, so that used to.
Monetary prizes just isn't it, though. Take those in stride.
If you get one, even when I hit a royal, I get a little
fist bump.
Excited.
Good.
Hit a fist bump.
Fist bump, and I'll take another Budweiser.
Yeah. I didn't ask you this. I shouldn't really ask you on air, but I can't help it. I'm sorry. does your girlfriend gamble?
Not really. No.
Okay.
She.
By the way, Randy's dating a smoke show. By the way, sorry. Just to let you know, he is. You have. What's that called? Outkick the coverage. Sorry.
Definitely outkick the coverage. No. She's back in Georgia right now.
Is she in Georgia? Yeah. She is a Georgia peach, by the way. But I didn't know if she was in the gambling scene because you had her here a couple times. Does she like the gambling or not? Really, like it's just okay.
She likes the perks of gambling, like the spas and the food and that kind of thing.
Okay, but that is an interesting. So when you meet someone new, which she's relatively new in your life.
No.
What's that? How does that go? Like, in other words, when you enter that relationship, are you worried that you'll be like, well, she might like me, but once I tell her what I do, it might go sideways?
Good question.
Yeah, I try to explain to, and I was engaged there for quite a while, too. I try to explain to them, kind of what I do. And there's some situations where, some pretty high variance and that kind of thing. And there's some money going around. And, so I just explain to them right away. And I go, this is kind of my life. And that's how it is. And if, you know what you're getting into. So, it's a delicate thing for a person to be a gambler and then have a relationship because you're
travel.
Pretty busy focusing on a lot of things. I don't travel as much as I used to, thankfully.
Do you, a cousin of that conversation, this will relate to more gamblers, maybe this is not your thing, but for some they have a wife or a significant other who immediately recognizes when you've won something and are like, oh, great, you can buy me this, you can buy me that. But are unaware, obliviously, sort of ignorance is bliss kind of way, that in the time that you may not be winning and that you actually lost, they don't factor that into the equation. That might not apply to you as much as it does to the mere mortal. But I'm wondering if you run into that at all.
Oh, sure. You run into that. And of course, there's many times where I've played to try to win the car and the car barely bailed me out or, we used to play for these other prize rewards and sometimes the top prize barely bails you out as Bill knows. Or sometimes I used to play a lot of progressive jackpots, video poker progressive jackpots in the day and sometimes you're in as much as the Royals.
You are, to get even. And you don't even hit it. The guy next to you hit it. Because other people are also advantage players. So, you know, that's a good thing. Let's talk about that, because you guys at home probably saying, wow, this sounds so great. I'd love to do this. It's not as glorious and glamorous as you think sometimes. I don't even go as much as yesterday. You were in 7,000 playing that particular bonus on a reel. And, you know, you could go deeper. You can have a losing session. And even though it's positive play, doesn't mean you have to win. So over the long term, of course, you're going to win. But short term, you don't have to win. Like yesterday, there was a very heavy machine. It was $50 a spin. And, he was in 7,000 real quick before hitting. And what'd you wind up winning, Randy?
I hit for $16,000 in the bonus.
Of course. There's another $9,000 on the Randy McKay Masters hat.
The two times before that, I playing at that level, I got clipped for about $3,000-$4,000. So it was good to get a little back.
A little 16
get a back on the Buffalo.
So I'm interested in this, though. So in a situation like that, when you're in the hole $7,000, I want to find out how much gamble you have in you. Are you so risk averse that you're like, it's all me, I'm going with it? Or do you try to sort of mitigate your risk at that point?
That one has a particular, that machine there had a particular bonus that you have to play to the end. So I was going to be in the whole thing till the end, but till I got that last bonus.
But do you seek investment at any point, that kind of thing?
Oh, I used to in the past. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would call my buddy. I have a buddy that lives in Red Rock Country Club that we know, or yep. Bill knows, and had a really nice Halloween party up there, by the way. But
side note.
And,
He has a crap table. He had a crap table when I was at his house.
Yeah.
And this guy's, we're not going to mention his name. He is the Mecca. He has every advantage tool to his name. He'll put crap tables in his house and everything. But he would call him and say, hey, I need you're going to be partners with me here or something.
He used to be Kelly's son's boyfriend. Kelly's son was with Phil Ivey in the edge shorting.
I didn't think you were going to mention. I didn't think you were going to mention this.
Yeah,
ooh, this is getting juicy. Just take that from there. Yeah, that's the
Phil Ivey edge sorting story is one of the greatest stories ever. Which we have too many commercials here to get into right now. But that's an epic story.
Well, I'll tell you something here during the break. They'll like.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, good stuff.
What do you see, Randy? That sports bettors do. That you're like, I would have no interest in doing that. Is it betting NFL sides randomly? What is it? What is it that you see most sports bettors doing? You're like, doesn't interest me.
What sport? That's kind of a weird question.
Do you see Joe Public doing that you would never do?
That's what I mean.
Like Joe Public. Like mine would be money line parlay. I see him just.
Your same game parlays, money line parlays. Yeah. Good answer. Yeah.
DraftKings is going to like that.
Thank you for translating my question. No, I appreciate
no problem.
It.
I was wondering that one.
Yeah.
All right.
No problem. That's a good question.
We'll come back. More Unscripted with the Crackman, Bill Krakenberger. It is a numbers game. Live from Bar Canada at the D right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook this week. That's this week. New customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app. Use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Charlie D, USA number one, says, everybody needs a tall Frank. Crackman dead on about Peter Luger's in New York, Manhattan, better than the Great Neck location. What happened to Old Homestead at Caesars, he said.
Party's over.
They
closed up.
Over the levee. Have you told the guy? Oh yeah. Have you told the guy smoking the cigarette about how Zyn nicotine pouches are number one? By the way, he needed to go. That was just too much.
I hate to say something. They're allowed to smoke. I mean,
not in our face.
Just that's not right. Next to the thing.
Let's see. I won't read that one from angriest guy in Kentucky. Doug Wedge. Hey, it's our buddy Doug. Oh, and by the way, thank you to Silent Mike D, who came in here bearing gifts yesterday, gave me the Wire DVD box set, which was very kind of him. I'm going to have to come over to your house and watch those, by the way, your DVD set. Doug Wedge says, Gil, I'm curious, when does Randy start focusing on college hockey? Is it just around Frozen Four time?
Ooh.
He's one of the few people on here I see giving out college hockey picks.
Someone knows about this.
Yeah.
No, Randy's very good in college hockey.
So I've been... This will be the fourth week of college hockey. I've been, you know, tracking scores and looking at some box scores. Of course, you can't really bet on it during the regular season. So I've been watching. Of course, I've been watching my faithful North Dakota team. They're ranked number 2 now in the nation. So pretty excited about that. Might go to a couple games this year. And I'm always tracking it. But unfortunately, that's one of the reasons I came on VEASAN to start with Brent and everything, was to try to push to get college hockey on the board and FCS football. And I've worked a little bit to get some more FCS on the board.
You're one of two.
But not as many,
I want to address this one because Jay Buckley said, he goes, can you please do a small dive into that Ivy Edge sorting thing, a solid 30 for 30 podcast on it. Also, have a good Thursday, fellas. Appreciate you. Yes, Jay. And by the way, I apologize. I should never bring something up and then not explain. I actually had Rose Eveleth, who was the producer of that 30 for 30 audio podcast about Phil Ivey and the edge sorting, on a numbers game many years ago. She was wonderful. But essentially the story was, and then I'll segue to you guys and your sort of tie in to the extent that you're allowed. But it is a story about, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong on this, a story about a young lady who went by the name of Kelly, who they describe in this podcast as a young, mysterious Asian woman. That's how they describe it in the podcast. But she was a daughter of a really wealthy guy. She would gamble all the time. She would lose lots of money. But because her dad was basically her ATM machine, she would always have the money to pay the casinos. And then one day, I think she ran up a tab of like $100,000. Don't hold me to that number. And I want to say it was MGM. They held her to the payment of this, and she's like, well, I always pay you, why are you coming after me? And they essentially, I don't know if they put her in like the casino jail for a minute or so, or she actually went to actual jail for a night or two, whatever it was. And she vowed in those moments, she's like, if I live, you know, to my dying day, I'm going to get back at them. Because there was no justification for what they did to me, because I always paid my what I owed. This was something that was unjust to her. And so she learned how to edge sort. And ultimately, Phil Ivey becomes part of the equation, and they end up going on this international run of an edge sorting, by the way, for those who don't know, is the ability to recognize on the back of playing cards the slightest, most minute difference in how the pattern is. And if you can do that, you have an inherent advantage in knowing what card is coming, what card is about to come, that sort of thing. Anyway, when we talked about the story when Rose Eveleth was on, the big moment that it all came to a point was there was a casino in England where they gave them all kinds of stipulations. You have to hand deal. Anyway, the millions and millions of dollars they won, Phil Ivey and this young lady. And then they got them. Then they stopped it. And basically, they wouldn't pay them. And so it became this big international court thing. They didn't end up paying the two of them, though Phil Ivey and Kelly, the young lady's name that they use, did make lots of money in other casinos. Is that basically a good background?
That was a pretty good explanation. Yeah. I'm going to let Randy go into it more because my palms are sweating.
Sorry.
So, no, go ahead.
I got you.
Yeah, no, that was perfect.
That was good.
And I've known Kelly for a few years, of course. And the last time I saw her was in a blackjack tournament, and she beat me out on the last hand.
She's still out there playing.
Oh, she's still around. Yeah, I haven't seen her for a few years. I used to share a number with her, but I think it went away. But I used to say keep some contact with her, and she speaks broken English, but she can understand you pretty well.
Well, one of the most the most interesting details of that whole thing, beyond what we already just talked about, which is interesting enough, is the fact that one of the points that they make is the reason that she was able to be so successful in getting this back, all the money back and more, was not just the fact that she became skilled at it, but because she was a young Asian female or attractive Asian female, that the prejudices of profiling don't alert the casino to thinking that she can be this good at what she's doing. It doesn't meet their profile.
Very good.
And so she was able to do it because of that prejudice.
Bingo. That and the she was able to negotiate. She was great at negotiating. I remember a few times in casinos when her and her boyfriend were losing, she would go, yeah, we need more free play. Can you get us a couple thousand more free? And they would get it.
I'll do that now. Just to let you know. No, seriously, that actually works for guys that if you gamble to a level, if you're stuck like 20,000 in video poker, I know I'll text my host and say, listen, I'm getting killed in this play. And he'll throw 2,000 in free play on my card. It's always good to cry a little bit. You know what I mean? Well, so, yeah.
Well, that applies to lots of things. Like, you know, we talked about this many times where, you know, people who come in from out of town, just your buddies who just playing random blackjack. It's like, ask them to rate you immediately. Like, you know, like no one thinks to even do that.
That's right. You know, very good.
What's your average play?
And now since you said that, I'll tell you something else.
Yeah.
Off the top, Randy, I don't know, I've never talked to you about this. Off the top of a deck on a blackjack table, you should actually bet more because your edge, believe it or not, they don't have as big of an edge at, right at the beginning in the first hand. Am I right, Randy? People don't know about that.
Yeah. And if you're skilled enough, then you see the cards come out. Then, of course, you can see if you got a more of an edge.
Can I annoy you guys and go back to Kelly for a second?
Because
I know you guys are, your palms are sweating.
No, it's okay.
Yeah. That's the best part of this.
I'm still walking around
Bill's
town doing nervous. This. That's why. No,
Bill's getting nervous. Yeah. When she's still out there playing stuff. Do you think that she has some other thing in her to go on some run of some other kind of edge, whether it's edge sorting or not?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure what you know. I think she has more gamble in her, and she's just now. You know, they won't let her have those rules. I think she's just pretty much just trying to play deals and do her own thing. So
Randy brings up a great point, though. You just said something that I wish the casinos would know more. If you had more common sense, these people that make the decisions that don't even gamble themselves with the nice fancy college degrees on the wall, I wish they would know about this more. They have more gamble to them. People have more gamble to them than you know. In other words, we could go around to these casinos, Randy and I, and show you these machines, like just like the one he played yesterday at a big edge. I have a buddy of mine here, Alan. We went and I showed him an edge, and he was like, "Wow, we made $100 just showing, walking around town, showing them something." Let me tell you something. A lot of the people, you have to realize, though, they have so much gamble to them that they're playing the edge, so you're getting so mad at them for winning. They'll blow the money back at Baccarat or another game or another slot machine or something. And you know, the casinos should realize that more. These people are gambling still. They're going to gamble, lose the money. I'll give you the perfect example. Randy, you work craps. You know this. You know what I'm talking about here. How many times on a crap table did a box person get involved in a decision with a cocked die, which that means a die lands on a chip, and it's actually on the, here's the chip, here's the dice. Obviously, this is the right number to call. However, I have seen multiple times where the box person said, just pay him. You know why? They're going to give the money back anyway. Give the guy like the $20. Mm-hmm. Give him the $50. You're going to pay him anyway. Make a happy customer. So it's kind of interesting that you said that, though. Like this Kelly, she'll probably over gamble and bet things that are negative EV anyway, so you probably shouldn't fear, you know.
I've been that box person before, and usually I always give the players the benefit of the doubt back in the day because you know, they're going to play anyway.
I've seen players on the pass line and the don't pass both get paid. Pay them all. Get a roll. Yep. Get a roll. So that's amazing. Yeah. Just some interesting other little you know, side things here.
I do think that the big lesson of that Kelly story is, though, is what I was getting at with the profiling. Just like in real life, casinos profile just in terms of just the demographic that you fit or your gender. Yeah. And so if you are out there listening and you're a woman and this particularly might inspire you, you are already a leg up. And if you're a minority, you're a second leg up. It's an interesting thing.
Yeah, white males have it tough.
Yeah, there you go. We stand out.
We'll come back.
Especially me.
We'll wrap it up with these gentlemen. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live at Bar Canada at the D. After the show today, in about 15 minutes, I will do the Beating the Book Megapod with Todd Wishnev and Will Hill, our guest this week. VSiN's own Matt Brown. Kelly, Matt said he's already going to be a little late. He's at the dentist. He'll be a little late.
He'll be co-hosting with him on Saturday night on The Handle.
Nice. And he'll be here on a numbers game on Friday. That's right. In betwixt. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. David Dorman, fantastic show every day, but this discussion is gold. This show is not about giving out picks necessarily. You can learn what to look for, what not to do, how to be a better advice you can use every day to increase your chances of winning. Thank you. Thank you, David Dorman. We appreciate that.
Great tweet.
David Dorman, where you been, man? I feel he must be more of a night guy. I feel like he was primetime action tweeting in all the time.
He was once outside of the South Point studio saying hi once. Yeah, Jim Shogren, good stuff today with you and Randy. One of my friends in Vegas named Bob played slots for a group, hit a lot of $1,500 to $2,000 jackpots in the late 90s, early 2000s, got banned and played at native casinos in California later, had more free meals and perks than anybody.
Those California casinos were great back then. Oh, how good was Barona before I got thrown out? I mean, I don't know about you.
Yeah, I played played in a blackjack tournament. Their $1 million first place prize. The first year, the Maloof brothers won, and I'm sure they needed it. And the second year, we were live to get to the final table. And unfortunately, we got beat on the last hand.
Yeah, no.
Otherwise, they did a little chop.
That was a giant tournament. It was downstairs, got down the elevator in that little private room, a private gambling room. That was very good. They had a really good Joker's game there that I liked. That's my favorite game, probably, the Not-So-Ugly Deuces. And they used to hold the cards for you, play video poker, and that was pretty good. I remember texting you, I think. It was actually good strategy. They gave you the strategy on the game. In other words, you just press deal, it holds the cards for you. You don't have to hold them. You could change it around, but mostly it was pretty good and one of my favorite casinos in the world. Till this day, even though they took me out of I'm not allowed to play blackjack there. I'm not allowed to play video poker there. But I guess all I could do is eat there, I guess. But that's one of my favorite casinos, Randy. Everyone, every morning, I called it like they were all like something with those people there, the way they train them. It should be the model casino for all casinos. Everyone waves to you every morning. Hello. Everyone's friendly. It's almost like they're brainwashed in there, like a David Koresh compound.
Yeah, that's what it was like. Yeah, it was like driving into the compound. The guy waved to you.
They waved to you right when you go in. The guy waves to you. Now you're in the compound. And literally everyone in that casino, I've never seen anything like it. Everyone is friendly as can be, nice as can be. Even when they back me off from blackjack, the guy's like, hi, Bill. I know who you are. You're a great guy. And you could play anything else. You just can't play blackjack today. You know, like they were so nice to me. And then they have the Blackjack Hall of Fame there, right?
Oh, yeah.
They have all the – it's funny. This is a place that's back – by the way, years it took them. They let me play for years. They back me off finally, and then they have a wall with all the cheating – memorabilia and the cheating things that people cheated with on that wall. You've seen that wall?
Oh, yeah.
All the tricks, all the things that surveillance and security grab from people, the little buzzers and stuff like you see in the movie Casino.
That's super cool.
Everything in the wall, Blackjack Hall of Fame, but you got to go.
But you got to go. These are the people we've bounced.
Yeah, that was all Max Rubin, I think.
Max Rubin was a consultant there, yeah. Right. That's exactly right.
Daytime Degenerate, thank you for that. He says he could listen to me talking Phil Ivey stories all day. No, it's a great story to tell. I want to ask you this, Randy, and I'm curious, a couple questions here before we go, which is, Bill, when we were outside of Peter Luger's last night, but you know, you were showing me all these people hanging around these slots.
I showed them some of the sour rooters.
Is the sour rooters, which you got, what, 3 million views on?
3 million views, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a twofold question. One, do you feel that's sort of, besides F1, that's the biggest story in Vegas that doesn't get told, that it's a scourge here in the casinos, that these teams are sort of intimidating random guests at slots?
I showed them yesterday, Randy, about how they actually will go up to a bank and like sit around you and like intimidate you and blow smoke at the old ladies playing. I hate it.
Let's explain. Waiting for the optimal time
to get on certain machines. Yeah.
Have you noticed that in your comings and goings here?
Oh yeah, you have that, and then you get these guys that try to sway you to play Ultimate X. This game, Ultimate X, where you build a multiplier, and then they'll tell you to switch games, and then they'll come back and sweep the game out for you. They're called creators.
But how is it? I mean, ignorant question. How is it that casinos either don't notice it? We've talked about the surveillance is not on slots as much as it is, say, on a blackjack table, or why do they let it go so long before they finally do a sweep?
They really don't do it. Only that recently, that one. I don't know anyone that actually, they're so worried in 2023, 24 now. They're so worried about throwing people out and insulting certain people. I tell you what, I think they can go forever. But one of the major corporations here in town did a sweep recently and actually went around the people and said, listen, you have to go. You got to go. But I think they're afraid to throw people out in here in 2023.
Yeah, there's some, you know, and of course there's litigation and everything, and they've cut back kind of on throwing out. The way to get, you know, people out of the casinos, not these type people, but you know, regular gamblers that they fear a little bit, is to no mail them, and that comes with a. What we've had.
No mail means they don't mail you any mail. That's all your promotions. Mm. That's part of the positive EV. If you don't get any mail, then what's the use of playing?
The other question was, and Bill alluded to this earlier, that the entire comp system for slot players needs a complete overhaul. That casinos couldn't be any less efficient when it comes to that.
Theoretical.
That they're targeting the wrong people for that. Do you agree with that as well?
Yeah, there's some. You know, I like the ones that have the older systems. The newer systems seem like they're more on the theoretical, and you don't get as much. But these ones, of course, have the older system are still pretty good. But yeah, there could be some overhaul there. I know they do a pretty good job here, giving you a pretty good bang for your buck. You know, Derek does a pretty good job in his
Yeah, he just won 30,000. He won 30,000 here. Of course they do a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, but no, he's saying
pretty good job.
The theoreticals are better maybe here. I even told him, like, table games and stuff. Terrible. Oh, terrible, man. Terrible. The way the real theoreticals you're not getting at most table games in town, the real numbers. How about if you play alone at a table instead of with a group? So you're playing alone. You're playing five times faster, dealing with a dealer. You should get a better rating for that because you're getting more hands per hour, more decisions times the X of the house edge equals how much comp you're worth, how much deal you're worth. And they don't, there's just no one. They have triple zero roulette. I know a place in town, floor person told me they have triple zero roulette and they're still giving you the double zero roulette Theo. That's terrible. It's almost 3% more of a house edge. So they're just not updated for a triple zero roulette. And by the way, every casino, I put one on Twitter last week, every casino has triple zero roulette on the strip, like right next to the double zero roulette, but yet people love playing. They don't realize it. Oh no, this wheel's hotter, or that board that shows that red came out 12 out of 13 times, like it matters.
Oh,
you know what I mean? There's some great, I tell you what, I got some great stories. Next week we'll talk about that, about sectioning a wheel and the davits on the wheel, what they are compared to them, the little pockets. Oh God, really good stuff about that too.
So let me ask you a question here. Thursday night football tonight, before we let you go. Obviously, it's a standalone game. Do you have any play in a game like this tonight, Randy? Do you even care that it's on?
I was looking at the 2.5 a little bit. A member of I'm in a betting group, Frank Bees, and he's pretty well known. He likes the 2.5, so I might have a little action on that. And then
he's laying the 2.5?
Yeah. And then, of course, I have a podcast where I give out my three plays for the week, and pretty interesting.
What's your podcast?
Oh yeah, advertise that.
Yeah, it's Sports Bettors Paradise. It's on my Twitter with Jimmy Ott.
Okay. So look at you.
I have six out of eight winning weeks so far. I usually give out three plays, but I got to give them out on Tuesday, so it's pretty much the openers.
Very hard to give out. When, like, even the Fezzik one yesterday, we saw Las Vegas Chris last night at Peter Luger. It's so tough for those guys to give out winners early in the week when you're going against one subset of lines. It's very, very difficult. But you pick up the nuggets of information, like David Dorman said today, learning little things. You know, maybe you're not going to give out picks here, but you're going to learn something more valuable, how to go about edges. And that's something that we do every week here when I'm on the show. So it's this has been a really good show. I'm glad Randy came in for the full hour and 15 minutes and bullguarded my time, but that's okay.
I don't mind it. How did I know that was gonna come up?
It's not a big deal. Yesterday I
told minus 250
on this segment.
I said last night there, I said, can Randy come in the last 15 minutes and go, oh yeah, bring him in, absolutely. And Randy said, and then come right on. But however, I'm so glad he came on for this, because here's a guy for 20 years that I text every single week back and forth when I have a question. He answers every single question of mine. Is this worth playing? Is this not worth playing? And yeah, he's a good friend.
Randy, you're a mensch, as we say.
Oh, thank you.
As some of us say. Thank
and
you.
And I do enjoy listening to Beating in the Book. It gives me a good humorous hour or so.
Well, we're glad we can land with you that way.
Yeah, we can make you laugh.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Randy McKay, Bill Krakenberger. And Bill, you'll talk about what you said you were going to talk about this week next week.
Yes.
All right. We'll do that. Best Bets is next. I'm going to go do a Megapod. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.